I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning and got myself a gun. Mama always
said I'd be the chosen one. Though Israel didn't start this war, Israel will finish it.
Once the Jewish Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promised his people they would have vengeance.
No, Hamas will understand that by attacking us, they've made a mistake of historic proportions. We will exact a price that will be remembered by them and Israel's other enemies for decades to come.
That is, of course, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. If they expected the Israeli people were going to fold and march with head down into cattle cars again, not going to happen. And Netanyahu says to his people, we will make them understand. Do not test us. Thank you for joining us. For our second hour of Larry Connors USA, we're on here Monday through Friday for you. And if you miss anything, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up as a podcast, video, or audio. We are streaming video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. When you see it, you can share it with others. I encourage you to do so. You can also subscribe for free. We'll make sure it gets to you, either the podcast, either the video, and our audio. Simply subscribe. It will come to you. You won't miss anything. And then you can make sure you also get it to some of the others. When Netanyahu was making his remarks, I don't know how much he knew as to what actually they've been finding left behind by the Hamas terrorist. We know, and there's documented film and video, and yet they've got a damn spokesman who can sit there and lie bald-faced to reporters saying, we didn't kill any innocent people. Hamas was not doing it. There's video, you idiot. But the video in many places have been sanitized for U.S. audiences, if shown at all. But the documentation is still there. There is one community along the Israeli buffer zone between 35 miles from the Gaza Strip that the terrorists broke into. They've counted 200-plus bodies in that one town. They didn't die of COVID. Although they're around, they might try to say, what's COVID? That's how inane this administration we have has been in responding. If we were even considering giving money to state-sponsored terrorist state, which we recognize ever since we started compiling the list of terrorist nations in the 70s, Iran has been at the top, and PLO, and Hezbollah, and Hamas. In later years, of course, ISIS and Taliban come onto the picture. They are finding, as they go into some of these communities, entire families massacred. This is not simply attacking, trying to get rid of weapons that might be stored under a home. This is not about slaughter. We've had Israeli rockets raining down on Gaza. And obviously there are collateral casualties. I hate the term, but that's what it amounts to. They're civilians caught in the crossfire. They had nothing to do with it. They simply want to live their lives the best they can. And they love their children as much as you love yours. But Hamas has made them a target because they've placed some of their weapons and their leadership in the midst of the community, trying to hide behind women's skirts and baby cribs. But speaking of babies, there's another horror coming out involving Hamas. There's a claim that numerous uncounted numbers at this point, babies in Israel found beheaded. You have an explanation for that? No sane person would. CBS filed a report on how Israel is going to try to get back into Gaza, level it basically, but they've got to consider the ground action and they've got to precede it with air assault.
Israel is expected to launch a ground invasion of the Gaza Strip in the days ahead. Its military says it's massed 35 battalions in areas close to the border with Gaza. And last night, Hamas threatened to execute the hostages that it's holding. Israeli airstrikes are hammering the Gaza Strip. Israel says it's targeting Hamas, which it and the US designate as a terrorist group. Palestinian officials say more than 700 people have been killed, including children. In the town of Khan Yunis, Palestinians dug through the rubble with their bare hands in a search for survivors. Israel's ordered a total siege of the Gaza Strip with no food, fuel, or medicine for its residents.
Now, I will tell you, when you're seeing the video of what's happening in the Gaza Strip, and in one case, a father running down the street carrying his daughter, could be 8 to 12, appearing almost lifeless in his arms or certainly severely injured, your heart breaks for the father and the child. Were they part of the Hamas terrorists? No. Does he have links to Hamas? I don't know. But I know that child is certainly an innocent victim. But who brought the rain of hell down on them? The Hamas terrorists, when they initiated the action against unarmed civilians in Israel. And of course, it's hoped by the Israeli forces, the rockets they're firing on Gaza will make it somewhat easier for their ground forces.
Dozens of Israeli battalions have been mobilizing along the Gaza perimeter fence. We also know that around 300,000 Israelis have volunteered to be reservists. These are staggering numbers for a relatively small country. We've been hearing directly from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who we understand spoke with President Biden to say that they had no choice but to launch a ground invasion. But this, of course, is all complicated by the fact that over 100 Israelis and potentially those with other nationalities, including U.S., are being held inside Gaza right now. We understand that they are scattered all across the coastal enclave, which is really about, you know, twice the size of Washington, D.C., which is to say not a huge space. It is a densely populated area, and there's a huge amount of concern for those people.
So as the Israeli Defense Forces go in looking for Hamas terrorists, and trying to rescue those who've been kidnapped, they might well cause the death of those who've been kidnapped, either by their direct action or the Hamas terrorists will decide to execute them before they could be rescued. Hamas has already declared and is supposedly doing so. Every time a rocket hits the Gaza Strip, they execute one of the hostages. How many they have, it's not clear. 200+. That number seems to be somewhat accurate. It may be substantially low. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says, we need to show a battle face.
For every Israeli or American hostage executed by Hamas, we should take down an Iranian oil refinery. The only way you're going to keep this war from escalating is to hold Iran accountable. How much more death and destruction do we have to take from the Iranian regime? I am confident this was planned and funded by the Iranians. Hamas is a bunch of animals who deserve to be treated like animals.
It's hard to argue against that point after some things I've mentioned to you already. Alan Dershowitz, former Harvard law professor, says, I know what's needed.
It will never be deterred by Israel going after Hamas. It can only be deterred by Israel and the United States collectively making Iran pay a heavy price for this. My proposal is that the United States and Israel jointly now attack Iran's nuclear capacity. Because if Iran was prepared to do this, imagine what they would do if they had nuclear weapons. And the mullahs have said this is just the beginning. Israel was the target today, but the United States will be the target in the future. And indeed, this situation, not only was Israel attacked, but the United States and Saudi Arabia were attacked, because the goal of this was to prevent peace from occurring between Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the United States. And so there has to be a punitive measure taken against Iran.
And he's referring to the Abraham Accord brokered by Trump, his son-in-law, actually. Again, South Carolina Senator Graham says we have to dismantle Hamas and deal with Iran.
I would dismantle Hamas. This is the best opportunity Israel has to destroy Hamas. Take it to the Iranians. If you harm one American in Syria by using your Iranian militia against us in Syria, if you escalate the war by urging Hezbollah to attack Israel in the north, if Hamas kills one American and Israeli hostage, we're going to blow up your oil refineries and put you out of business. It is now time to take the war to the Ayatollah's backyard.
Yes, but will that happen? While Israel strikes back and makes plans to wipe out Hamas, comes this story.
A senior Hamas official said the group is open to discussions over a possible truce with Israel, having, quote, achieved its targets. When you look at what happened Saturday, that would mean that its targets that it achieved were killing young people at a music festival, killing children in their homes, killing old people in their homes, and kidnapping many and taking them into Gaza. Your reaction?
Well, Hamas is a terrorist group that celebrates the killing of the innocent. Iran's regime, led by the Ayatollah, is a bunch of religious Nazis. They want to purify Islam in their own Shia image. They want to destroy the Jewish state and eventually come after us. This is an effort to kill all the Jews. The last time this happened was Adolf Hitler. The world was late to react. I'm urging the world to condemn Iran. I'm urging the Biden administration to cloak the White House tonight in the Israeli flag. You did it for Pride Month. I want to see the Israeli flag over the White House.
I doubt that's going to happen, and he is right. Yes, they put up the pride flag, not actually over the White House, but hanging from the White House. Back to Alan Dershowitz, he said, you're looking at all of this because the U.S. lacks leadership.
Barack Obama hasn't said very much about these attacks. Where is he? He's the one who, at the end of his administration, allowed the Iran deal to go through and also allowed the Security Council to declare Israel's holiest places, the wall, the Western Wall, the Hebrew University, Hadassah Hospital, to be illegally occupied territory. So there's plenty of blame to go around. There'll be plenty of time to allocate blame. Right now, all Americans, all people of goodwill around the world should support Israel's efforts to rescue its hostages and to destroy Hamas. The only result that can come out of this thing that makes any sense is the permanent destruction of Hamas, the infrastructure, the leaders. The leaders, of course, have all escaped. They've run to Qatar and they've run to Lebanon. They're hiding in the tunnels. They're allowing civilians to be killed because these rockets are coming from areas in which civilians are used as human shields, and Israel must stop the rockets. That's their first priority. And even if some human shields are killed in the process, that's permissible under international law.
In the sense that they are collateral damage during a war action is what he means to say. If I might add to the law professor esteemed knowledge. He mentioned Barack Obama. Where is he? Well, he finally put out a tweet. Three days after the terrorist action, he put out, "All Americans should be horrified and outraged by the brazen terrorist attacks on Israel and the slaughter of innocent civilians." Took him 3 days to come up with those lines. And then he goes on to talk about, "We support Israel's right to defend itself against terror." And then he adds, "Cannot help but add, we must keep striving for a just and lasting peace for Israel and Palestinian alike."
To the Biden administration, your appeasement policies toward Iran is not working. To the squad, shut the hell up. You're emboldening the enemy. You're a disgrace to the United States Congress. You're siding with terrorists over a democracy called Israel. You've lost your perspective here. I'm confident most Democrats do not agree with the squad. Bottom line is, Biden and Obama have appeased the Iranians to the point of where we are today. If you pull the plug on Ukraine and let Putin get away with this, he will not stop. We will be in a war between NATO and Russia. We have a chance to reset the world here. Defeat Putin in the Ukraine, dismantle Hamas now, and tell the Iranians, if you escalate any more attacks coming from Iran, we're coming after you. Anything short of that is going to lead to an invasion of Taiwan by China. We live in very dangerous times. The Biden administration's approach to Iran is about as successful as their border policy.
Which has also opened up terrorists inside our nation, waiting for an action. Saw someone post the other day, "If you live in a major city, I suggest you leave for the next 24 months. Get out of major cities or any area that might be a target." That's what they were suggesting. I don't want you to live in fear, but that's what some are already stating. Senator Graham did say, "I've been speaking with the Israeli and Saudi leaders.
I talked to the Israeli ambassador this morning. I talked to the Saudi ambassador this morning. Both of them said they're 1,000% confident this attack launched by Iran through Hamas was designed to derail the effort of normalizing between Saudi and Israel. A death blow to Iran would have the Arab-Israeli conflict end. They think this is about stopping efforts for Saudi, Israel, and the United States to do a peace deal. I will be going to the region soon. I want to let the Iranians know that we're more intent on doing this deal than ever. Your efforts to undercut peace between Saudi Arabia and Israel is going to fail, and we need to let them know they're a legitimate military target. 9 Americans are dead because the Ayatollah planned an attack. He could give a damn if Americans were involved. They're threatening to execute innocent hostages. For God's sake, tell the Ayatollah, if you kill one hostage, you launch another attack by Hezbollah against Israel, we're going to blow your industry off the map, your oil industry.
And coming up, you're going to hear that they continue to carry out atrocities. General King is also stating, be aware of a possible attack from the north from Lebanon. More on that coming up. More on how Biden's been complicit in this. And plus, how much terrorist action can you get for $6 billion? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number. 314-644-5000. 644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
Well, I started out with $1 gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know how many terrorists can be supported for $6 billion? And Anthony Blinken, don't tell me that this is money that's being devoted only to food and medicine. Money is fungible. Every nickel that is given to Iran, no matter what, is used to promote terrorism. And therefore, the money should remain frozen. Lawsuits should be brought by the victims of this horror against that money. And the money should be used to help. The people who have been victimized, but not a single penny should be given to Iran.
Not a single penny. Now, again, the Biden administration stating the money's not even unfrozen yet. They don't really have it. You cannot blame us. If I tell you I'm going to give you $2 million, you don't have it yet, but if you trust me, I urge you to trust me. Maybe not trust me on that point, but let's say you do. Oh, Larry's going to give me $2 million. I can go out and start buying all kinds of stuff, put it on credit. Because when I get that $2 million, I'll just wipe it all out. So you're using what you've already got, be it credit and or money, all fungible, and you're making things happen because you know that money is coming and it's going to settle it, and you'll be back on top. That's exactly what has happened since Iran was told we're going to release the $6 billion that's been frozen. You know why we froze it? It's part of the sanctions against Iran. It should not be released to them. It should be made as a fine against Iran for violating stated principles by the UN Nuclear Commission when we know they are. And anything else you can find. Same thing as Obama should not have decided, well, Iran has lawsuits against us because of money we kept from them or took from them after they took our embassy, and the world court will probably give it to them. And I said, fine, let the world court decide you have to pay it. And then you don't pay it anyway. Let them fight it out. What else are they going to do? But he, like Biden, said, let's let it go. Of course, Obama was doing it overnight in planes, loaded with boxes, pallets full of cash, various denominations so they could be spread all over the Middle East in various amounts of currency, making it easy. And that was just the first payment. So when the Biden administration is telling you that $6 billion had nothing to do with this, that's a lie. It's a lie. And Dershowitz says right now, too many in this nation are willing to suck at the teat of Marxists, and he points directly to the New York Times.
Their headlines equate the killings of innocent civilians at the concert to the inevitable deaths, collateral deaths of some people in Gaza. You can't make those equivalents. That's like apples and bicycles or apples and bombs. There's no moral equivalence. Every civilian death is regrettable, but those that are deliberately planned and targeted are very different from those that are the inevitable costs of the fog of war.
And there's a big difference there. And in the fog of war, even troops are killing their own combatants who are in the same uniform, coming from the same company, and being of the same origin and mission. But in the fog of war, things go awry. But this was not the fog of war as to what we're seeing happen with Hamas. When they spent weeks, months working with Iran and the Iranian Revolutionary Army, building a fake city so they could go learn door-to-door fighting in case they actually encountered combatants, which they really didn't. And then they practiced various things as to various stages would be enacted at various times, when to break through the barrier fence, when to cut communications that exist along the Israeli border, when to go into the towns, when to paraglide into the beach and start slaughtering civilians, grabbing hostages. It was all pre-planned. It was not the fog of war. It was a terrorist action. I want to share some of this with you, and it's going to be hard for some of you to hear. And you're not even seeing the video. We know of numerous cases where Hamas terrorists have taken cell phones from those they've taken hostage, made them open up their phones and call their families so then they can get on there and show video of them to their families back in the States or Israel or wherever they might be. How would you like to get a phone call from your daughter? You're waiting. She's over there. I don't know what's happening. You get the call and you think it's her. And you look and she's bloodied because she's been beaten and raped repeatedly, barely clinging to life, and maybe a face-covered terrorist is standing over showing you this is what we do. The New York Post is reporting the story of a terrorist who kidnapped two young sisters at that music festival. They were among hundreds enjoying music, just being young. And then a video was uploaded on social media, and one of the segments, for a few seconds, a family friend saw one of the children kidnapped being held hostage. Then they started getting taunting phone calls from the terrorist, calling their mother, laughing at the family. The terrorist laughing and said in broken Hebrew, "Do you want to marry her?" and hung up. I told you earlier about numerous babies being found beheaded. Israeli soldiers reporting discovering these dead bodies as they start going through some of the communities, Kafr Azah, Israel, located near the border of the Gaza Strip. As one soldier stated, she said, "I saw babies, their heads cut off, gunned down families, gunned down in their beds, One Israeli major general confirmed all that to the Jerusalem Post. Said it's not a war, it's not a battlefield, it's a massacre. It's a terrorist activity. Adding, it is something I never saw before in my life. It's something we used to imagine from our grandfathers, grandmothers in Europe and other places. It's not something that happens in today's history. But it is. Then you have many of these reservists who have been activated. 200,000 active duty in Israel, and every male and woman of age has to serve in the military at some point. So they're all fully trained. They serve their time, and then they can go back to civilian life, but they're active reservists. 200,000 forces, and they've activated 150,000 reservists. One correspondent saying these are reserves who jumped into action, leaving their families behind, knowing the sheer horror they're going to come across. And many of these troops still going house to house, door to door, often taking 30, 40 minutes because many homes have also been booby-trapped with grenades. According to the Associated Press, since Saturday, Hamas has killed over 1,100 Israelis. A legal scholar noted it is, quote, the worst massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. Since the Holocaust. And Dershowitz says there is a building of fury, anti-American, anti-Israel, that is happening across the face of this nation, aside from those who have come in across the open border, and it's taking place maybe where your child or grandchild is or will be going to an institute of higher learning.
The bigoted left-wing squad who were elected to Congress generally have supported Hamas and have not supported the United States and Israel. But with the exception of the extreme left, Americans have been relatively united. But what worries me most is the academic response from professors, from administrators, from students, from our future leaders. They do not understand or they refuse to accept the difference between evil and self-defense.
And how could you not understand that? Because you're taught to accept it. This person should die. They're Jewish. Kill them. They're Christian. Kill them. They're Muslim. They must all be terrorists. No, they're not. They're black. They're white. They're red. They're yellow. Find any difference that you can single out and say, that's why they should die. And this antagonistic, critical race theory is all wrapped inside of it, and it's being taught not only in our institutes of higher learning, but our lower grade levels. Unless you put your foot down and say no more. I look at these children, hundreds of thousands that have been saved since the Roe v. Wade landmark abortion law was thrown out. Maybe they'll be the future savior of our nation if we get to that point. Coming up, another threat for Israel, possibly from North Lebanon.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Not only is it an attack from another direction, the north, as opposed to the west, but it's considerably more sophisticated. They have 130,000 plus rockets and missiles, all delivered to Hezbollah from Iran. They've been accumulating this arsenal over the years, and the recent deliveries have given them added range, added lethality, and added precision. These are not the homemade rockets that Hamas has been making in their factories with parts delivered by Iranians. These are sophisticated missiles and rockets that are manufactured inside of Iran, and Iran knows how to build these things.
That is General Jack King, Army, retired, a Fox News analyst, stating there may well be a northern front for Israel to deal with. Israel is already on the alert for everything. Israel is surrounded by enemies. How would you like to live like that? That everywhere you look, there's someone who wants to kill you or your family, simply because of your religion. And if Lebanon gets involved and supports Hezbollah, Hezbollah is much better trained than Hamas is, much more disciplined, much more brutal, much more deadly. And then you move to their missiles. They're not in a backyard trying to figure out how to put the thing together. Slot A, part B, they've got extremely sophisticated weaponry. Already from the Gaza Strip, even with these basic homemade Hamas rockets, they can come close to Tel Aviv, which is 85 miles north along the Mediterranean from the Gaza Strip. And General Jack King was pointing out that escalation could happen rapidly, and they would do so because they know they could maybe confuse any of the defenses Israel has in place.
The purpose would be to overwhelm the three air defense systems that the Israelis have. Arrow, David Sling, and Iron Dome, which everybody talks about. Mm-hmm. And they can reach all of Israel's cities. And if they were able to overwhelm them and the Israelis started to take casualties and they couldn't eliminate all the launchers and the infrastructure, they have never, ever asked for American troops to help them. From 1948 to the present, we've given them equipment like we're doing right now. But I would suspect if they couldn't control this and they were taking daily casualties and they weren't able to eliminate all the launchers, they may ask the United States to assist. And I don't imagine any president could ever say no to that request.
But then again, who of us could have imagined a Joe Biden would be in the White House following along after Obama, looking to be best friends forever with Iran? You remember Obama talking about giving money to Iran and brokering this joint agreement, which was never a treaty. It was never presented as a treaty because it would have been rejected in the Senate. But just an agreement that we're going to help Iran come out of the Stone Age. They said, we just want to know more about nuclear activity, fusion, and so forth, so we can build reactors and improve the life of our people. No, they want to build a nuclear weapon to bomb you into the Stone Age. But Obama was all about doing it, got it signed off by other countries. Still not a treaty, but got it signed off. And then added, no nuclear weapon will be built by Iran on my watch. That was the closing 2 years of his administration. That was the out on my watch. And now you got Biden saying, yeah, let's put it back together after Trump dismantled it. Why would you do that? And Keane was talking about how they would escalate and from Lebanon and what they could try to do. And then the issue is, what should the U.S. do?
Whatever the Israelis want, we should be given. And I know they've asked for more interceptors to shoot down rockets and missiles. They want more bombs, obviously, for their fighter aircraft. They want more offensive missiles for their fighter aircraft. Whatever they need, we should give them. That's what we have done in the past. In the 73 war, Nixon gave them 22 tons worth of equipment, jet fighters, tanks, ammunition. Let's give them what they need to win this war, period. They're a close ally of us, and that's what we do to support an ally. And if they need more assistance than that, we give them that as well.
Again, General Jack King. And, of course, the question Americans might have to face, are you willing for American boots to be on the ground in Israel in that war?
We have three vital areas in the world where we have our interests: Europe, the Pacific, and the Middle East. We've got an adversary that started a war in Europe. We have another one, Iran, that started another one here using its proxies. And we have our friend Mr. Xi threatening a war in the Pacific. The
yeah.
order, the global order that we established post-World War II is falling apart. And one of the reasons they're doing this, Maria, is they believe American leadership is weak. They
right.
think we're in decline. And that's the reality yeah. of what we're facing.
It is. And he pointed out clearly that how many fronts can we fight on? Say you agree to, yes, boots on the ground in Israel. They're our closest, if not our only ally, really, in the Middle East. And then what else do you do then about Taiwan? What do you do about if Putin decides to go after NATO nations, where we're bound by treaty to be involved? And then, of course, their overall goal is spread us so thin, we're not effective anywhere. and we're basically putting our troops in as cannon fodder. Did you ever see the movie based on a true event when Germany was fighting the Soviet Union? Now, if Hitler had not had the ego and desire to occupy everything, if he had left the Soviet Union alone, he could have put all of his forces on the European side and probably swept across. But when he got involved in the Soviet Union, the winners, the harshness, the battles, they were strung too thin. But the movie I'm referring to is Enemy at the Gates, built upon the story of a Soviet soldier who became praised as their top sniper, just a boy who had been helping protect his father's sheep in the hills until the war started. But speaking about being spread so thin, the Russians were too. They did not have enough weapons as they were trying to deal with the Germans. About every fifth to eighth, maybe tenth man got a rifle. And they were all supposed to charge the German machine guns. You don't even have a gun in your hand. But you keep running. And people are falling all around you. Maybe you can pick up a gun. But if you turn and go back to your front line, back to your troops, they're under orders to also shoot you. Enemy at the Gate, if you have not seen it, I strongly suggest it. I'm looking at a piece from The Hill on that Iran has sent a deadly message to Biden with this Hamas attack, pointing out that regardless of whether Iran plotted and ordered the massive Hamas attack, Tehran's backing and support for the Palestinian militant group sends a clear, defiant message in Washington. And even before this attack, as Israel and Saudi Arabia have tried to normalize relations, the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini, back in October in Iran, said, "The position of the Islamic Republic is that countries that make the gamble of normalization with Israel will lose. They are betting on a losing horse." He does not want to see Saudi Arabia join with Israel. The director of research on the Middle East Forum is quoted saying that Iran seeks to defeat Israel with a strategy of, quote, death by a thousand cuts. They intend to reduce the morale of Israelis to cause Israelis to lose faith in their institutions, to cause Israelis to quit Israel. I don't see that happening. I don't. But I also know that while suddenly there are no atheists in foxholes, suddenly there are those in foxholes who will abandon their position and their faith that God will see them through it, or however they view God and how he will help them or not. But for this director of research at the Middle East Forum saying Iran thinks it can reduce the morale of the Israelis, cause Israelis to lose faith in their institutions, and even cause Israelis to quit Israel, he said that's the reason they're backing Hamas. That's the reason Iran has created Hezbollah. They will try to surround Israel with what we would call hybrid military forces. Of course, Iran continues to deny anything to do with Hamas actions. We all know better. Again, that is according to a piece written in The Hill. There is a statement in the Bible. It says, "You may do what you choose, but for me and my family, we will follow God." That's in the Old Testament, Israeli, the Torah. But But we also know the Old Testament is filled with leaders that God set up and became vile men who did harm in his eyes. Some he relented, and others he had them pay a price. And of course, sitting to the sideline watching all of this with its eyes still on Taiwan is China. U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer, after his trip to China, which was planned in advance of the terrorist attack, did meet face-to-face with Premier Xi and was asked later by reporters, do you trust him?
Let me just say this. Both sides, the Chinese and us, said, unless we have sincere conversations about our differences and not pull any punches, that we would never solve these problems. And the thing that I think we respected is the Chinese leadership from President Xi on down understood that we were going to be strong, understood that we're going to be tough, but also understood that's a necessity if we're ever going to improve the relationship.
Is Schumer lying to himself and all of us? Is he that easily hoodwinked by the communist Chinese? The question was, do you trust him? I didn't hear Schumer say, yeah, I trust him. Which tells me he doesn't, but he was quickly to say, we all understand we have to have an agreement that's reciprocal and everything, and we can move forward together like that. Yeah, I agree with that. That sounds appropriate. But do I trust them to do their part of it? That would be like asking Chuck Schumer, do you trust your Catholic faith that's against abortion while you're supporting abortion? Ah, look too close to home. Or you're asking Schumer, do you trust that you're going to stand with Israel when in cases previously you've not shown that much support for Israel? Again, too close, too soon to ask the question, or maybe too late. General King pointed out something, as I'd mentioned the first hour, that Quentin and I were discussing the other day. Quentin just flat out, he said, I'm just thinking, watching all this, are they trying to just spread us so thin we can't deal with anything anywhere and be ineffective? And I said, it's crossed my mind too, and I was glad to see General King address the same point. We had to quit dividing ourselves. We are Americans. Arnold Schwarzenegger appeared on The View. I decided not to lift the audio, and I have some differences with him, but one thing he said, we must have a strong border. Then we work on immigration issues. But this administration is letting anyone and everyone come in. If you're a terrorist leader, would you give up the opportunity to get as many of your terrorists inside this nation because the leader of this nation says, come on in, you're free to move about the country? No terrorist leader would pass up that possibility. So you know they're in our midst even as I speak. As always, thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.